What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're going to be talking to Daniel Young here on our listener spotlight. Daniel's athletic trainer here working with me in GHATS and in the greater Houston area. Become a friend over the last couple years. It's been a pleasure to get to know Daniel. Daniel's also listened to the podcast regularly and commented and been in the chat rooms. And yesterday we had a great time talking, just hanging out, having no agenda conversations. So without much further ado, Daniel, this conversation is about you, about your journey, how you got here to where you are right now. So tell me how many years you've been in the profession as an athletic trainer.
It's almost too many to count. Thinking back yesterday on your questionnaire you sent us, I started probably middle of eighth grade, so 94-ish. I was fortunate in a lot of ways. I went to Second Baptist School, so I started in middle school and then high school on the same campus. So maybe I think middle of my eighth grade year, my high school coach asked me if I'd be interested in maybe working with our athletic trainer, and they let me stay for a week, and I never left. So it was fun.
Very good. Is that Second Baptist School? Is that where we have the Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine update?
Yes.
All right, cool.
Slightly different campus when I attended. The update portion was a shopping center of various businesses.
Yeah.
The church had not expanded, but still a pretty big campus.
Very cool. Great conference if you get a chance. Houston, go there this summer. But that's not what this is about. This is about Daniel. Daniel, you said your high school coach asked you about being an athletic trainer. You have any idea why he asked you?
Yes and no. Look, I was a football manager when I was in junior high. Two early knee surgeries. I had an old school lateral release, and I had a meniscus surgery. Actually, both by the famed Dr. Fain, one Dr. Fain Senior and one Dr. Fain Younger, and just could never play for various reasons. So I was involved, and he either noticed how much I loved being involved and couldn't participate, or saw something else in me that I didn't see at the time. But either way, he got me to our athletic trainer at that point and started hanging out with him. And we didn't do a lot of anatomy and curriculum per se, but I liked the environment and it was fun.
Do you happen to have another window open with the podcast playing?
Me? No.
No? All right. I didn't know if that's why I was causing that feedback. So, all right. Why? Tell me a little bit how you got injured.
PE class, like T-ball essentially, and took off at a home plate, and my patella dislocated. Took a little bit and it relocated on its own. The meniscus, try to think back. The meniscus was goofing off in church in a way, running in the hallways and landed on my knee wrong. Foot everted and just kept rotating and ended up with almost like a puncture tear of the meniscus. So I got scoped, but there was nothing to fix.
Gotcha. Interesting. Just wondering, because you said you didn't ever really get to play sports and intermediate, and so how you got injured. But all right, so you got us up to high school. Now continue your path to where you are right now, telling us how you became an athletic trainer.
So high school, I think you and I would differ on a lot of people of how it happened. I think it's more than coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence or chance. For whatever reason, we had a college fair in a college I had never heard of. Came called Howard Payne. Loved what the campus looked like on paper. My parents took me to the campus, loved the campus. I got to hang out with the athletic trainers and the athletic training students there for their game day. It was a really small Division III private school nestled kind of in the hill country. No reverb on my part. I loved it. So went to Howard Payne. Got to be involved right off the bat. Didn't have to wait. So mid-July, everything started. It was fun. Worked under four different athletic trainers. Graduated Graduated Howard Payne December 2003. Got accepted to Tech's Masters of Athletic Training program. Worked under four other athletic trainers in grad school, and then graduated Tech in 2006. I have four in high school, four in college, four in grad school. The first athletic trainer there was Randy Worrell. He's out of the profession. John Zumwalt did not stay in the profession either. Mike Ferguson is at College Park now, and Brad Cooper is still at Second Baptist. Maybe that's it. But no, Brad taught me a lot. So, yeah, and I appreciate it a lot, too. Brad taught me a lot about responsibility that the other three didn't. So,
fortunate. Okay. All right, so that's probably got to be a record, right? So, what would you say, 12 there? Four, yeah.
12.
Yeah, it's got to be a record somewhere for that length of schooling. Have that many different head athletic trainers. All right, tell us about what's the worst injury that you have dealt with as an athletic trainer?
I got two. They had a junior high track athlete miss a hurdle or maybe land wrong on a hurdle and had the compound fracture dislocation. That was cool in my aspect. The one event I like in track is hurdles, because otherwise it's just people running around an oval. So I look forward to hurdles, but never really expected anybody to eat it that bad on a hurdle. So a little bit different dealing with a younger athlete, but she still went through everything really well. The second was we had a football player, not this past season, but two seasons ago. He had a bruise. No? Two seasons ago, we had a football player get a bruised spinal cord. And that was stressful.
All right, so tell me a little bit more about a bruised spinal cord. How do you figure that out?
The long way. Unfortunately, we played Beaumont Westbrook. It was our farthest away trip by far. And third quarter, he got hit behind the play somehow, went down, not moving. We did our jobs well. He couldn't, anything below his neck, he couldn't feel. He could talk, breathe, all that, thankfully. We got him loaded into the ambulance. Still couldn't really feel anything in the ambulance. Got his face mask off. Went to the hospital with him in Beaumont. They did some things I did not like. But after x-ray, they transported to Texas Children's. He spent the weekend in the hospital, and so maybe 24 to 36 hours later, he could actually move again.
All right, so you also had mentioned to me at one point, and I had mentioned this to my wife, as a first responder, you came upon a scene, probably the most gory or horrific thing you've dealt with.
Yeah. So the weirdest things that in high, between high school and maybe first year of college, I saw worse things driving around town than I've seen in athletic training. I was on my way back to Howard Payne on 290 and saw a 15 passenger van when they used to have 15 passengers blow a tire, go from the far left lane all the way across into one of the little kind of culverts or drainage ditches, van on its top, people thrown out, anything from people unconscious to severed arm, the works. Hindsight, what is it, like 20 years later? I picked the guy that was completely unconscious. The state trooper first on scene was dealing with the severed arm, and the gas station, that's my school bell, gas station that happened right next to, the manager of the gas station would not give out the ice so they could pack the guy's arm in ice. So, kind of interesting.
All right. So tell us, if that's not memorable, then tell us about your most memorable moment as an athletic trainer.
I think my wife and I got married August 2004. My first outreach job was at a little bitty school called Tahoka. It was maybe 30 minutes south of Lubbock. And about halfway through the fall, maybe, one of our coach's kids came in to see me and said, hey, my leg doesn't feel right. I have, you know, just kind of hurts. And right below his AIS, he had a lump. Like, so he had his, he had the attachment spot, a divot, and then a lump. And it hurt when he flexed his hip, hurt when he did a straight leg raise. Sent him off to the doctor thinking he had an avulsion. And his doctor did the x-ray and immediately sent him next door to the internal medicine clinic. And they did an ultrasound that day and found that he didn't have an avulsion fracture. He had a goose egg, had a goose egg sized tumor that was pushing that tendon up to make it look like he had a divot. He had a goose egg sized tumor plus some other smaller ones, chicken egg, golf ball, all of that, all in his right thigh. And he had some in his left groin as well. And after months of testing, they told him he might have leukemia. He was fearful he wouldn't survive the next year. But after months of testing, they found out he had cat scratch fever. He got prescribed several doses of Z-Pax and some others, and he was fine by the by spring.
Cat scratch fever.
Yep, just like Ted Nugent sang.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, again, beyond me. Good job identifying that there was something and sending them on. So,
All right.
Tell me about a life lesson you have learned being an athletic trainer.
Between this and that, it's hard to limit it to just one. Kind of like Kathy said yesterday, it's treat everybody with respect. But the people that run the school, I mean, the teachers know a lot and the principals know a lot. But the people that run the school, the secretaries, the attendants, clerks, our janitors, those are the people that I really do my best to try to learn about, understand, be friends with, and they help make my day a lot better, even though I may not see them in a given day. So just to check in with them and see them and see how they're doing, get to know those people because they make your life a lot better. My pastor gave me some really interesting feedback after GHETS this year. He came and we hung out for the morning, a little bit after the welcoming ceremony. He said, in seeing the workshop, which was bigger than what he anticipated, seeing what all we do and all the kids involved, he was like, this really is your ministry, which I thought about a little bit before, but not in the same scope that he told me about. But it really is. It's our ability to show kids a profession. But for what I believe and for what you believe, it really is our ability to show kids and interact with kids and give them a different perspective on life they might not really get. I think there's always something more you can learn. Whether it comes from your peers or your colleagues or your friends or some other person you randomly encounter, but I'm not so cocky to think that I know everything.
Coach Chum told me to come in.
It's Kat.
Go ahead, Daniel.
All right. But it's, yeah. My bell again. I don't know. I like to think that I'm an expert, but at the same time, I'm not cocky enough to say that I know everything. And I'm confident enough in what I do know and what I don't know when I need to call somebody if I have a question or if I don't know the right exercise or it's something I've never heard of. I have no fear in calling someone. And then in general, work efficiently. So I try to be prepared as I can be for stuff. So I carry a lot more gear than what a lot of people carry. And I carry it because it's not used every single day, but the one time that I do need it, I want to have it on hand and not be, oh, I should have brought that with me this time. School bells, sorry. 2 years in a row, actually. So this year's baseball playoffs and last year's baseball playoffs. So 2015, we had a kid blow his shoelace on his cleat. And I had to spat his cleats at a baseball playoff game. Didn't have any kind of shoelaces. Remember it this year, and we had another kid blow a shoelace on his cleats. It doesn't happen in any other sport. It doesn't happen in baseball. It doesn't happen in basketball. Doesn't happen in football. But for whatever reason, it's happened twice in baseball. And I had a shoelace this year to get.
All right. Be prepared. Never know what will happen. Yep. Recently, when I went to the took students to the UT workshop, the professional one was actually about like mass casualty type things. It was from a SWAT team response unit, medical SWAT team. So, I mean, they showed us how to put a tourniquet on and how to, you know, stick your finger in a wound to stop the bleeding and pack it. And so it was one of those things where you never want to be involved with that, but it, now that I have an idea of what to do, you know, now I'll be prepared. So,
no, our school does this. It's a kind of like a START training. It's watching the video is kind of cheesy, but it's how to quickly process mass casualties. And we have the labels. I have the labels in my kit for, because I'll probably, if ever that happens, I'll have that with me. But it's how to label people as of, you know, deceased. Don't worry, which sounds crass, but it's deceased. Don't worry about. Has to go to the hospital right now. Has an emergency, but can wait. You know, can walk or is perfectly fine. And it's given everybody some kind of color-coded system so that the people that come behind you can figure out if they need to be seen right then or if they don't have to spare time on.
Yep, so. Being prepared. All right, Daniel, tell me three people you would like to thank and why.
It's hard to limit it to three. Since I almost forgot my wife at the GHATS Awards, my wife is key. I got to thank God for putting me where I need to be, for showing me what I had a passion for very early in life, for taking me where I need to be, putting me where I need to be, kind of teaching me the things that I need to know along the way. My wife for letting me be involved as much as I am across a lot of different venues of athletic training or a lot of different parts of athletic training. You know, my parents let me do this in high school and never made me get a job. They were much more focused on me getting good grades and were happy that I was involved. And as far as I know, my dad hopefully is listening. My dad made it to every sporting event, every home sporting event my senior year, which is pretty amazing. Plus, he let me stay the majority of the two football games senior year, and he drove us 5 hours in the dark to Howard Payne. We slept for 3 hours, watched two football games, and then drove home. And he was exhausted over the weekend, but he did it just trying to get me to where I need to be for college. Coach Mike Hall was my coach. He pushed me in the direction or put me in the situation I needed to be in that fit me better than being a manager. My wife is forever grateful. I'm grateful for Mike Terrell. He's the current program director for Howard Payne. He was the last head athletic trainer at Howard Payne when I left. But he really changed my perspective on how the training room staff and all of that gets along. Because I was raised on the hierarchy system. Like, you start at the lowest rung. By the time you get at the top, you can kind of boss everybody else around. And he understood that, but at the same time, he still expected seniors to work the same as the freshmen. So if he gave you a job, the system that I was raised in under before Mike was seniors get a job and they order about the everybody under them. And Mike was more, I gave you a job to do, don't pass it off on somebody else, get the job done, ask for help if you need to, but don't order it about and order everybody else about it. And my dad just sent me an email, he's listening. It really changed my perspective on how to deal with people. And my wife credits Mike for helping change my perspective a lot and kind of setting me up putting me in a better light for us to date. Mike's counterpart at Howard Payne at the time is Scott Owen. He really helped kind of push me on. He mentored me. He helped me relax a lot. I used to be pretty quiet. I'm still quiet, but I'm willing to talk to people now. And Scott kind of started that change in me. My teachers at Tech were awesome. Dr. Taylor, Natalie Stebson, Larry Munger, Mike Smith, the four of them, simply amazing. And if I need resume help or if I need to talk to somebody now, I can call Natalie or I can call Dr. Taylor and they'll just talk and they'll listen, but they'll also talk and give me feedback. My favorite teacher of all time, probably favorite teacher of all time, is one of my English teachers at Howard Payne, Dr. Roeming, taught me to speak my mind. and then I enjoy listening to and talking to, I mean, all the people I know in GHATS. So between Jace and Kat and the people I've got to work with, and even Jeremy for the stuff that we get to do between website and PR, and even for the stuff that you and I talked about, my mom's watching too. And from the stuff you and I talked about last year and maybe 3 years ago, and getting my wife and I squared away on budget stuff and learning that. So the list goes on. There's no way to thank everybody. God put me in a very amazing spot to work with a lot of great people. So I'm fortunate, we're blessed, and it's wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you, Daniel Young, athletic trainer here in the Houston area. Again, this is the Listener Spotlight Sports Medicine Broadcast, helping you, the athletic trainer, tell your story. So what's coming up next? We got a couple other people after this little break, but if you want to join in, hang out, chat, then it's a great time to do that as well. Daniel, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
One of three ways. You can find my email off the GHATS website. You can call me at Taylor. Do you recommend I give out my phone number online?
That's up to you. I mean, people can easily Google Daniel Young Taylor High School and get it, but
the easiest way is go through the GHATS website. There should be a link under my name, and then it should direct email me.
So, all right, there you go. So email, that's GHATS.org. Then Daniel Young will have there. He's the up-and-coming president for our organization, hosting the nation's largest free student athletic trainer clinic. This is quite a piece of work if you ever are in the Houston area on the first weekend back in January. So, Daniel Young, a active listener and supporter of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, thank you for joining us, and that is a wrap.